Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, of course, we had a chat and Andy told us how he got on at the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
We talked about various things. You got involved as well at times. Kevin Day came in, the comedian and writer and Palace fan, and we look back over the Premier League weekend. And we gave you some clips of the week pewter, didn't we?
Yeah, good fun.
2009. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Andy.
Yes, good afternoon, Paul. And
how was your weekend at the Cup final? You had a good day.
I had a lovely day, yeah.
Enjoyed nice atmosphere on Wembley fireworks up their backside.
No, nothing like that. There was usual unpleasant songs, but you expect
that. Because
that's
become the marker now, isn't it? Have you had a good day or a bad day? I measure every day, if I go somewhere, against whether someone fired a firework out their backside at any point. And if they didn't, I generally think it's quite a good day.
Talking about that, though, I don't know what caused, whether it was flares or whether it was something Wembley did, but the smoke ruined the first 15 minutes for everyone. We couldn't see. It was like 1950s.
Who's bought this job lot of flares? We had them the other night. I mean, flares at football matches in this country are pretty rare, aren't they? But in the last couple of weeks, they've really come back. Someone's obviously gone out of China.
Well, you saw the picture Everton yesterday. Plane. Was scarred with the blue from those
flames. We've noticed lots of them. They had a fire marshal on hand, didn't they? Did you notice that?
No, I didn't. But
Everton game yesterday.
It was a good game. I mean, not as good as the final in February because of the weather, you know. But I thought both teams.
You said it was very hot in the stadium,
Boiling. It was really hot in the sun. I mean, the pitch was in shade by the end, but you know, it was still. There's no air in there, so as you saw by the fact that the smoke didn't dissipate.
Yeah.
And we had chances. They had chances.
Sure.
They obviously had a bit more of the ball than we did. But, you know, to play this obviously brilliant team four times and not losing the season, you've got to be quite proud about that. And, you know, look, penalties are penalties. I mean, I am fascinated by all these people that, you know, oh, yes, it was down to these German fellows and it was down to this.
Some expert
in Norway said, oh, yes, Tuchel got it wrong, but Klopp got it right. You think, you know, have you seen Mount take a penalty? That's what it was. These two teams have taken 33 penalties and Chelsea missed two more than Liverpool did.
Yeah.
Fair enough, it happens. You know, I think there's a lot of rubbish spoken about.
You don't think there's any neuroscience involved?
No. But I enjoyed the final. I always love Abide With Me. That's a great moment.
Yeah.
And Pete Tong, who I thought was a good rhyming slang metaphor for what happened in the penalties. He was there doing the DJing.
Nice.
So it was all right, you know. But
do people still join in with Abide With Me? Or is it a bit like sort of singing hymns at a wedding?
I've no idea because I was singing very loudly, so I couldn't hear whether anybody else was. I really enjoyed it. But, you know, the two very, very good teams, not that much between them. Mm. And, you know, but listening to Adrian and Cal on the way home, it was like, you know, you think Liverpool had won 5-0 and they're the greatest. No, seriously, you would. Like, the greatest team that's ever lived. You think, well, come on, they haven't beaten Chelsea over four attempts this season. So, yeah, all right, they're a very, very good side. But, you know, they didn't actually win the tie. They won the penalty shootout, which is good enough for them. Talking of penalties.
You're not bitter.
No, I'm not really. It's frustrated. I thought, you know, you've got to be proud of the way that Chelsea put it in. They had a lot of, you know, they had no strikers on the bench. I mean, I wouldn't have taken Lukaku off because A, he's a penalty taker.
Yeah.
B, he can always get you a goal. I thought it was a bit of a strange move if you didn't have a striker on the bench. I didn't think he looked particularly tired. So I thought that was strange. But, you know, there we go. To your Fine game, margins. I mean...
Oh, yeah, my our you game, know, wow.
Under
God,
the current,
horrible.
Current rules, that is a penalty, but under the laws of the game, the bloke who actually invented football, I don't think when he came up with penalties, he thought that was what we was thinking of. I mean, yeah. That should never be a penalty. I agree it is, but it should never...
How should it work? I mean, I went to the loo. I'd given up on that particular half, so... I popped down to the loo, and when I came back, I looked on the... I just come
nobody,
back to my seat.
Nobody appealed. I mean,
nobody appealed.
If you qualify for Europe, you should send Stuart Atwell a nice present, nice gift. Because honestly, he didn't need to get involved with that. If he'd not called it, it would have been...
Well,
no,
but,
no,
but he did,
it.
Andy. Within the... You know, I'm going to sound like bores, but within the laws of the game, he did.
Well, a referee
because
didn't give it.
That's what's... Yeah, but, you know, that's because they would say he didn't see it the way he should have done. I think Kevin Friend... Once that happens, once, you know, he knows what the laws are, of course, well, he's a Premier League referee, I hope he does. But once he has been, his attention's been brought to that, he has to give it. He's got no choice. He'll get his backside kicked otherwise. It doesn't make it right. I totally agree with you. It was a horrible, nervy game, and it was a really tough watch, but fair play, they got over the line. I tend to agree with Conte.
Post, but they got it done, and that's all that counts at this stage of the season.
Winning ugly.
But it's interesting, between Chelsea and Liverpool, I mean, so many chances. 240 minutes of football. Yeah. The XG should have been about 3-3.
But only two each on target in 90 minutes, which I thought was interesting.
Well, but XG, if you ever want to know that XG is a complete and utter waste of time, Everton's XG was better than Brentford's yesterday.
Oh, really?
It's a joke, isn't it? It's absolutely... Get rid of it. We don't need it. It's nonsense.
Now, something we didn't get around to doing the other day that we could do today, if I can find the right piece of paper, which, of course, I know here is. Now, I don't think we mentioned this, Andy, on Friday, did we? I think you may have seen the story. Now, the Conservative Club, the local Conservative Club, imagine it's a fairly sedate place. I used to play I played a few Conservative clubs back in the day when I sort of played in bands, you know, just the sort of Saturday evening things. Yeah. And, you know, fairly sedate places, you would think. So it was interesting that a little while ago, they booked at the Colliery... The Seam Conservative Club in Durham. Mm. They booked a wrestling death match.
Oh, yeah, that was good, wasn't it?
Did you see this?
Yes, I did.
The Colliery Championship Wrestling took place, and the two guys properly went for it. The bout ended at the local Connie Club with two blood-soaked contestants who set about each other, smashing glass tubes over each other's heads as parents and kids watched on. I think the committee will be meeting, of course.
That's what I call entertainment.
To decide. But it did strike me that sometimes in life you get quite unsuitable entertainment for a particular venue. So if you've gone along to something and you've thought, blimey, that's a bit off. That's not quite what I was expecting. I used to play, we had this little jazz quartet. I played with guys who were much better musos than me, but I played with these guys.
Nice.
And they were called, named after a tyre salesman from Porthcawl, that Di Pritchard, our sax player.
Yeah.
The Mr. Koski jazz band, right?
Really?
So we were just looking to do some gigs. Mr. Koski used to sell tyres around the caravan parks of Porthcawl, according to Di. And we said, phoned up, Di booked the gig. He said, yeah, we want to do something. They said, yeah, we like jazz here. Mr. Koski jazz band or something like that. So we turn up at the venue and there's all these pictures of like sort of cross clarinets and boaters, right? And it says, today, Sunday, it's the Mississippi Jazz Band. And they misheard it over the phone. They thought we were going to give them like 2 hours of Kenny Ball, banjos, clarinets.
Marvellous,
and it's going to be going to take you back to the old days of the Mississippi. They were in for a bit of a shock when Di started playing the music from a Czech cartoon. A lot of honking going on, there was.
Not ideal.
It wasn't that kind of jazz. Anyway, we digress. The wrong turn at a suitable venue. Do let us know, the two wrestlers who were covered in claret at the local Conservative Club in Seaham. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSH&J, and that can include entertainment at the football or any sporting event as well, of course.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You've been telling us about the odd entertainments that were booked at unlikely venues. Mm. The Conservative Club in Seaham up in Durham booked the Colliery Championship wrestlers, who really went for it with a wrestling death match with the two blood-soaked wrestlers hitting each other with glass tubes as the kids' parents looked on. Mismatch entertainment and venues. I went along to a community eco fun day. Says Parrish, which had a few stalls, including sales of second-hand kids' bikes, face painting and the like. The organisers arranged the bouncy castle. All good until the guy running it got the tunes up and running. Everything was high-energy disco anthems. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it was a bit surreal seeing the wee ones bouncing around to the club remix of Male Stripper by Man to Man, featuring Man. So, a lot of men there.
There are.
And another one here. I was once searching for a day out with kids' website, looking for somewhere to take my then three-year-old daughter. One of the suggestions was a show called Dream Boys. On closer inspection, I realised they weren't characters from a kids' TV show. No, that could have been a bit of an eye-opener for the kids. Thank you, Matt. You can keep those coming. Unusual entertainment, possibly wrongly booked, I don't know. Do let us know this afternoon. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Very shortly, Kevin Day will be here. Right, the comedian, Palace fan, they could have a big say. Certainly at the bottom of the table with their game at Everton later on in the week. We'll be chatting to Kevin and looking at some of the big stories from the weekend's football.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We're going to reflect on some of the big talking points from the Premier League weekend. Kevin Day, comedian, writer, Palace fan, makes a welcome return to the studio. Do just that. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Hello there.
Yeah.
Before we start, yes. I know you're going to. I did a bit of research on Palace's thing because I wanted to see. Well, I knew you were coming in, and I wanted to see.
Was it the intern's day off?
He has a full staff now.
How dare you? Yeah, I've got a staff of writers, as somebody said to me last week. Yeah. Do you
got a writer's room to do all these things? Somebody said, do you have a team of writers? And you'd sack them after a week. Imagine the turnover. It's hardly the show of shows, is it? If you
not really.
Lads, what have you got for me? Do Roy Hodgson's voice.
Yeah.
That's what I've got.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Harsh. Yeah. Yeah. Palace are the only team below eighth with a positive goal difference. Mm. It's fascinating that they've drawn 15 games.
Wow. I think it's our first, certainly our first positive goal difference in the Premier League, which
it's
is
impressive.
It's a 28 goal swing, I think, from last season as well. Before we talk about that, though, I'm slightly baffled. As I came in, you were talking about miners fighting to the death.
Yeah, it's the Colliery wrestlers. It was the two wrestlers, Ronnie Thatcher and Blizzard, which sounds like a vent act, but they were the two wrestlers who worked at the Conservative Colliery Championship Wrestling and they put on a turn. Apparently, they're great mates, the pair of them, and the following day, Blizzard was out having breakfast with his girlfriend.
Nice.
No hard feelings.
They sound like local ciders, don't they?
A pint of Ronnie Thatcher and a pint of Blizzard. Yeah, the Blizzard's a touch
stronger.
More bitter.
Before, I know we're talking about the games one by one, but can I just say yesterday was living proof of why some continental football fans are baffled by the Premier League. French fans, Italian fans will be going, why are Palace and Villa kicking lumps out of each other? Mm. Why are Brentford trying so hard? It's arguably the only division, certainly in Europe, where teams with nothing to play for take the game so seriously.
Yeah, like Villa-Liverpool last week. Exactly the same.
Exactly.
Good point.
And I know there's £1 million for each place you finish higher up, but even if there wasn't, there's something in the psyche of English football and Scottish football where they take every game really, really seriously.
It's good. It's a good
It's great.
I'm sure the Watford fans would agree after that shoeing they got from Leicester.
Well, Watford, Roy Hodgson, God love him.
Yeah, Roy.
I actually feel for him sometimes. There was an interview last week, he actually sounded like Andy trying to be funny. It's just, I don't. If I was a Watford fan, I wouldn't have him back in the ground after what he did at Palace. that bizarre interview when he clapped all three sides at Palace and ignored the Watford fans, and then said afterwards it was too far away, and then randomly said, "I've had shingles."
I wonder if they will bring in Rob Edwards. It's
Edwards. What's the appeal of Rob Edwards? He wants to start afresh.
Good look at the players before you.
I won't say what it is, but it's a sandwich and not a particularly attractive one that you would be handed there.
I thought the sensible thing for Watford, I thought, would be to get Sean Dyche back in. But, and they've done something so un-Watford, because to bring in a young English manager is so unlike them.
Yeah.
Because normally they would go for an Italian second division manager you haven't heard of. But they need... It's an overused word in football, identity. But until 2-3 seasons ago, Vicarage Road is always a good away game because they got a lovely Irish pub for away fans next to it. But it was a horrible away game. So you knew what you were going to get. Troy Deeney's Watford. The fans were always up for it. You knew what you were going to get from the players. It was hard. They had that blinking hornet banging his drum all the way through. And now, that's gone. When we played against them, we beat them 1-0. It should have been 7 or 8. That's all gone. Even the hornet's half-hearted now. Yeah. His heart's not in the drumming anymore. And they need to get that. They need to get that back. It used to be such a difficult place to go to.
Well, look, maybe now Rob Edwards has gone in, maybe it is a change of philosophy, because the stuff... We should wish Ben Foster well. He's said he's leaving the club. He's been fantastic for them, and I'm sure he's still got plenty. He's still a great goalkeeper.
Great keeper, yeah.
But he said there was he felt, you know, paraphrasing, there were players maybe that weren't putting it in as much as some of the others did. And, you know, that's the shape of the Pozzo's recruitment, isn't it? They're picking all these players up and some aren't putting a shift in and they're letting some of the others down. Maybe they need to look at that.
I think they do, but the trouble is that takes 2 or 3 years and football fans don't want to wait 2 or 3 years. I don't think it helps putting them in that shirt, to be perfectly honest. Even the best player in the world, their heart must sink when they walk in the dressing room and think, oh, I've got to wear that all the way for 9 years. But Foster's comments after the Palace game were incredible when he said, There are players here that will give it 100% for 60 minutes, and then you can see them virtually give up afterwards. For him to say that out loud is astonishing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Where else? Look, I mean, again, I'm not a West Ham fan, but I think a lot of fans from all clubs, we all love a one club man. We also you always feel they have a special place in your heart, so you should salute Mark Noble. I thought it was nicely done by West Ham.
They love one of their own, don't they? Of course they do. But I've met him a couple of times, Mark Noble. He's really nice bloke, really interesting. He's a proper mod, which I like. Mm. but it was brilliant, that send-off, because he's still a really good footballer. And I thought it was very interesting that he said, I wanted to be the one who decided when to stop playing football. I didn't want football to retire me.
Yeah.
So he's going out, but you hope that they get some kind of emotional help, because after somebody who's dedicated his life to that football club and playing football, to suddenly not have that in your life, it must be a huge wrench. So you hope there's someone to keep an eye on him.
He'll be back in the dugouts. He'll be back in the coaching staff, won't he, really, soon?
You'd think so, yeah. But that was, I mean, the performance itself from West Ham was a fitting tribute, especially in the first half. I think a lot of people thought West Ham was going to be City's hardest game. And I thought that was...
I think the difference, when you play West Ham and they haven't been playing in Europe and they're flogged... They're a really good side. Yeah. It makes a big difference.
I think people have got very short memories. They've forgotten how bad West Ham were before we went into... arguably, the pandemic did them a favour because they weren't playing in front of really angry, frustrated fans. But they're a really good football team. And you wouldn't look at them and think that's a David Moyes team, especially the way they go forward. I mean, they're well organised, which is what you expect. But going forward, they're really exciting to watch. And quite annoyed with Bowen because he turned Palace down a couple of seasons ago and it didn't bother me. I didn't think he was good
Liverpool
enough,
but cover him. They want him. They're quite interested in him. He's a really good player.
I'd be interested to see whether Southgate turns to him for the England squad in the World Cup.
Yeah.
I think he deserves a play. His finishing is fantastic for someone who's meant to be a winger.
He's got a great head over the ball, you may notice.
Yes.
But he's a terrific. He makes really up for it.
I don't know if you saw, talking of Liverpool, James Milner after the cup final. Going into dad mode. He said to some of the players, he said, you never know it's going to be your last. You're going to the dressing room after the game, all the lads are straight on their phones, and I'm saying, you've won the FA Cup, get off your phone. He said, yeah, you've got 40 or 50 messages, but you get on the bus and you can deal with that. You're lucky to be a footballer, lucky to play in any final and to win 10 medals. If you said that to me at the start of my career, I'd have been pretty happy. But they're like, go on, saying to these young kids, get off your phone.
He's a funny one, Milner, because you talk to people like Peter Crouch, they will say, he's the funniest footballer there is.
Mm.
And he'd say, well, can you tell him to let his face know that? or because he doesn't show it. I mean,
been lots of footballers, Kevin. You've probably interviewed him in your Match of the Day days where you know, they give you a complete straight bat, But as soon as that camera's off or the mic's down, they're like a different person. It's a kind of like Stepford footballers. I think they try and portray an image so they wouldn't get asked to do media stuff.
Yeah, they learned very quickly on Match of the Day too not to let me do the grown-up interviews. They didn't let me loose on the likes of James Milner. But, I mean, again, he's another one. He's right, though, because he's... Mm. I don't think anybody at the start of James Milner's career at Leeds looked at him and went, "This is an England international in the making. He's going to be in the Premier League for a long time." And he's one of those who's made the most of the talent he's got. And he's a player that every Premier League club would love to have in their squad. Again, it's an old cliche, but he leaves everything on the pitch.
Yeah.
But his sense of humour is interesting because he started to play up to the idea that he hasn't got a sense of humour anymore.
Yeah, he's embraced it, which is probably a mark of him, really. Yeah,
Again, I imagine he's one of the players in training who does the same thing to the players who are on their phones. It's like, and that's really, they should be. I know the FA Cup is slightly devalued, but they should be in there with the champagne and the pulling each other's shorts off and throwing stuff over the manager, shouldn't they?
As an event, Andy, I mean, you've been to loads of FA Cup. Your first one was Howard Kendall played in it, didn't he? The first one you went to.
Played in it?
Yeah.
1964.
He played in it.
That's a long time.
So you've been to a lot.
I was only about 13.
Kevin says it's diminished. I mean, once you're there and it's your team on cup final day,
it's still a wonderful day. It still feels special, doesn't it? I mean, you went to the semi-final. It's still a great...
A couple of years ago.
Yeah, there's something special about it. I mean, the whole thing is just, you know, it's hard for me to sort of be too subjective about it because obviously we didn't win and it, you know, was very, very disappointing. But what can you do?
I find the semi-final, we had a great day in the semi-final. This pub that we went to by the canal in Harlesden, which is fantastic.
Do you like it at Wembley?
My point is you leave the pub and you've had a fantastic day by the canal and it's lovely pub, but the closer you get to Wembley, the more your heart sinks. Because once you're in the ground, fine, but the process of getting from the tube, and as many teams will find out in the playoffs, it's a really dispiriting, unfriendly process. Mm. And the events in the Euro final didn't help because obviously security's ramped up, but for the hour that it takes you to get into the ground itself, it's a joyless thing. I still think I'm the proudest Londoner in the world. The National Stadium should be in the Midlands somewhere. It should be more accessible, especially the semi-final weekend. You had that nonsense.
There's something about when you come out of the station, though, and you see the stadium, and I was with two people on Saturday who hadn't been to a final and, you know, loved Chelsea but hadn't been to a final, and it was a big thing for them. And as they walked down Wembley Way, they were really excited.
If you get to walk down Wembley Way, it's fine, but if you're at the other end and the tube you're directed to is the Bakerloo Line one that's on the wrong side of Wembley and all you get is a walk down the high road.
I know, that's horrible.
That's horrible.
that's the worst. You're right, it does take about an hour to get to the stadium.
But I still think the National Stadium, because we saw that at the semi-finals when the trains from the north weren't going to London. It was ludicrous. Mm. And it's just, I mean, it's a fantastic stadium, but it's like Arsenal Stadium. It's a fantastic stadium, but it doesn't feel quite like... And I know it's impractical, I still think for the FA Cup there should be a replay. I still think, I know you can't fit it in, but just for the FA Cup, I understand in World Cups you can't do
that.
For the FA Cup final, I want to see a replay before it goes to penalties. Because for me, that takes...
Would have still gone to penalties, even a replay.
Maybe. So.
Yeah, they couldn't really separate them. I'm all for that, having witnessed one of the best games I ever saw was the FA Cup final replay in 81.
One of the greatest goals.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Kevin Day with us in the studio. We were just chatting about those comments from James Milner imploring the younger players in the Liverpool dressing room after the Cup final to get off their phones and live in the moment because you don't get the many Cup finals. So we'll have some great get off your phone moments when you've, in the end, you've had no choice but to say, get off your phone. Do let us know this afternoon in what circumstances that was. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSH&J. And your team, Palace, you said, on the face of it, pretty meaningless game between Villa and Palace was a decent contest.
Yeah, top 10 finish.
But as you quite rightly said, you know, there's not a lot riding on it, but both teams properly go for it. But you know, you could have a big say on Thursday at Goodison Park, couldn't you, in Everton's survival.
I think with the Villa Palace game, any teams managed by Steven Gerrard and Patrick Vieira are not going to be taking...
Of course, that gives it the edge.
Not going to be taking the day off. No. I think we're not bad away from home.
Right.
I think Everton in for a difficult game against us. I think whatever happens, it's going to be, I think, the first time in a while that the last day, just two teams, whatever happens, Burnley and Leeds will be fighting it out, possibly three teams fighting it out, which, if you're not a fan of those three teams, is really exciting. But you just, that Brentford result shocked me yesterday. And also Frank Lampard's demeanour afterwards. Frank Lampard's clearly a good manager. He's going to be a great manager, but he's learnt a lot. He's obviously been watching Roy... Nothing's ever my fault, Hodgson. Because nothing's ever his fault. And it's, you know, the two red cards were red cards, simply as that. You can argue about what happened before them. But I thought Everton would have a difficult game against Brentford, but I thought they'd win that game. And that's really piled the pressure on for Thursday night. And Vieira will play the strongest team possible. And our strongest team possible is capable of beating anyone.
They've got no centre-half. They've got a lot of injuries. The most amusing moment in that game was that towards the end of the match when Eriksen wisely evaded a 50-50 challenge with Pickford going roaring at him, remembering Van Dijk and what happened to him. He just went, no, you're all right.
Yeah.
Don't blame him.
Well, I think the thing with Everton now, however good a job Lampard has done, the damage was done earlier, because the two worst away performances I've seen at Selhurst Park were... Under Rafa in the league, they were terrible, and they were worse under Frank Lampard in the FA Cup. And their away form has just been horrendous. And a psychologist would have a field day, because if you look at their squad, they're good players, decent players. But there's so much pressure on them now for that game on Thursday that I think they're going to be tense. I think they're going to be really nervous. I think Richarlison will almost inevitably score the first goal, and then we'll probably get one back. But I think. I also, my theory is that if Everton and Burnley don't win their games in hand, Leeds will stay up. Because I think Leeds will be so energised by getting a last chance.
I can't see them winning at Brentford.
I can see them winning
at Brentford. I mean, I've watched a lot of Brentford.
Yeah, a bit of a party atmosphere at Brentford. Yeah. They made such a good season.
Rightly so. Thomas Frank has got to be in line for manager of the season. We know he won't win it, but he's got to be up there because he's done a fantastic job.
I think really good Ericsson's made such a massive difference. And whoever signs him, whether he stays at Brentford, which is what obviously they'd like to happen, but I don't think we'll... Whoever signs him is really going to benefit. Yeah. There aren't many players like him
you're absolutely right. It's brilliant. I would love him to stay in English football, but it's really interesting to hear a debate yesterday with people saying, well, he'd be very ungrateful if he didn't stay at Brentford. But no, he's got his career. He wants to play the best football he possibly can.
Yeah,
Brentford fans will always love it. I think what Everton and Leeds have done, especially because Everton's physical approach against Liverpool worked so well, but Everton and Leeds, they've just obviously said to the players, look, we've got to be strong, we've got to be tough, the fans will get behind you. They've taken it too far. It's worked against them. They haven't controlled their own physicality, which they need to do. When they needed to be calm, they haven't done so. And Rondon, I mean, that seemed like a strange throw of the dice anyway, bringing Rondon on. And
then, a mad thing to do. A
ludicrous thing to do. But again, it's that thing, well, I haven't had a brilliant season, I'll impress the fans, and this is what they want, physical football. Oddly enough, the Leeds one, the Dan James one, midweek. I mean, even 10 years ago, that's not even a yellow card because he got so much of the ball. But under the new rules, clearly, it was a red card.
Yeah.
But they've just become reckless, and it could rebound them. But I think Leeds have got a really good chance. If they go into the last day with a chance, I can see them being the only ones winning.
Wow. You can expect a 3 a.m. firework display or not, as it didn't happen against Brentford. It didn't work against Chelsea, but not against Brentford. So will they go with it again? I don't know.
I don't think it's the 2 o'clock in the afternoon nap fireworks don't have quite the same effect, do they? Or Mike Gay and Anderson are tucked up.
That's true. It's true. It's an evening game, isn't it? It's going to be quite difficult on a firework display half past.
It did work. They did it against Chelsea, they said, didn't they? And I don't think that was
the reason.
No, I don't think that was the reason either. But the atmosphere was remarkable. But the trouble is when the atmosphere... And Leeds fans are astonishing. Even at Selhurst Park, they were astonishing, I have to say, all the way through. But sometimes at Everton in particular, the atmosphere is brilliant. But when if they're not winning after 20 minutes, the tension starts to percolate.
Well, understandably, a club that size find themselves at the bottom, you know.
Well, again, it's that cliche. You've got players, there won't be relegation clauses in their contract because a club like Everton would never dream of that they would be in that situation.
No.
So you've got really, really good players, but they've got no idea how to cope in situations like this. Most of them, the tension has come from playing games at the other end of the table. So that really does... And I think people... I don't think they will go down, but I think if they were to do so, it'd be one of the most seismic stories in English football, because under Ken Wright, who didn't really have a lot of money, but they competed efficiently for a decade under Bill Ken Wright, and then the new money comes in and it just hasn't worked for them.
No.
And if arguably they've been more financial trouble now than they were under Ken Wright. So relegation, parachute payments notwithstanding, would be a disaster for Everton. Yeah. It really would.
We should salute Jamie Vardy as well. Yes. Still going strong, still scoring goals. Had a bit of a stop-start season with injury and everything. But, you know, when he's on it... I mean, I've heard a few... I mean, Roy Hodgson saying the other day maybe they'll be thinking about him for England, a great wild card off the bench. It seems unlikely, doesn't it? But because he probably doesn't want to go. He retired from international football. He was sick of sitting on the bench.
Yeah, well, bear in mind for Roy, he's still a teenager as far as Roy's concerned.
He's a stripling. But he's a great finisher, isn't he?
He's a fantastic footballer. And again, he's one of those that you really... It never bothers me when he gives Palace fans stick when he scores, because we've given him loads of stick beforehand. Of course he does. He's one of those players like Mark Hughes used to be. You hated him with every sinew of your body.
But respected him at the same time.
You love him in your team.
But wished he was in your team. Exactly that. And he's a fantastic finish. Leicester, I have to say, even this season, are one of the teams, when they click, they are without a doubt one of the most attractive footballing teams in the division. I'll be interested to see what happens, whether Brendan Rodgers thinks it's maybe time to look for a inverted commas, bigger club, whether he thinks he's done...
Because they
won't win the league again. They've won the FA Cup recently, but they're a fantastic team to watch, and as a club they're really admirable, because they still bring through young players every season. Their recruitment tends to be quite clever.
Has been good.
Chasing top eight finish as well. There was a bit about Rebecca, and we're not going to talk about the court case obviously, but this is when Jamie scores, this is a friend said, it gives her confidence. Jamie scored two goals and that gave Becky that extra bit of oomph she needed to get through torrid days in court.
Feeds into that.
They should be feeling great today.
We haven't talked about Wolves or Norwich. So there's this feeling at the moment about a bit of churn. Neves are all worried about the Wolves fans. It looks like he could be off. Interesting to see what sort of turnover there is. And also, you know, a bit of a Norwich. Pookie seemed to be on it. He could have scored about five. He only ended up getting one. But they seem to go for it a little bit yesterday.
I think Norwich are really indicative of what the Premier League means. You hear Chris Sutton, who's, you know, to paraphrase PG Woodhouse, it's very easy to tell the difference between Chris Sutton and a rare sunshine. You know what I mean, your own TalkSport's Andy Jacobs is a very harsh spring lamb compared to Chris Sutton.
Yeah.
But him, his apoplexy going, there's got to be change from top to bottom at Norwich. You know, we can't keep doing it, can't keep coming up and going down. Yet Norwich will go back down to the Championship, financially secure, well-run, sustainable club. It kind of, what do you want? You can't be asking.
It's an indictment of the parachute payments, though, that Fulham and Norwich haven't played each other for 6 years.
I know. The parachute payment argument, we could be here all day, but you know, two of the clubs that come up will go down, and two of the clubs that have gone down will come up. So to the rest of the clubs, it is a nuisance, and there needs to be a different way of funding relegation. And you know, Steve Parish, his argument is, why should Premier League clubs fund teams that are fighting to take my place in the Premier League? I'm not entirely sure I agree with it, but that's the point of view of quite a few Premier League chairmen. But if you're a Norwich fan, you're disappointed, but there's no worries about breaking the bank to try and stay in the Premier League. And I think that's how it should be. That's easy for me to say, because the first two seasons in the Premier League, I'd have been furious if we didn't break the bank to stay in it.
Yeah.
But Wolves are one of those teams you wonder where their natural place in the scheme of things is, because you kind of get blinded, as somebody who loves football history, you sort of get blinded by the fact that Wolves in the 50s and 60s were one of the great teams, huge team in domestically and in Europe. But you wonder where their fans think they belong now as well. And
they've had a good season.
But again, they're not. It's strange. I used to love watching them. They seem to have, especially at home, they seem to go into themselves a little bit. And it's that kind of their natural demeanor is
Portuguese,
like
counter-attacking football.
Yes, exactly. Which is when you're a home fan and you've paid a lot of money for a season ticket, you don't necessarily want the away team to have 60-70% of opposition, no matter how effective it is. And I don't think it's been quite as effective as last season, but yet it's still possibly top seven finish.
Kevin, before we let you go, what are you up to at the moment? I got news for Ewing, I assume.
Yes,
enjoying the series so far.
It's just about to come to an end, and then A League of Their Own comes back.
Yeah,
I'm working on another book.
Like a football book,
So yeah, but I'm reaching that
podcast.
Age. I'm reaching that. Yeah, the podcast.
Oh, yeah, we spoke to Kieran last week. You were doing some. You did a show up at Accrington Stanley. I saw you on stage with Andy Holt.
You managed to persuade Kieran to talk on the radio.
Oh, we got him. On did. Yeah, reluctantly, we twisted his arm.
We went to Accrington to do our second live show. It's not a live version of the pod. It's a live show based around the pod. Andy Holt, the Accrington chairman. Mm. I wish we could have broadcast some of the things he said.
He's very good on Twitter as well, very outspoken.
He was so interesting about Gary Neville and about... Yeah. He was just one of, he said, FA keep trying to fine me and I keep not paying the fines. There's one particular, he called an Ipswich fan, an Ipswich player. I won't use the word because it involved a swear word. I called him that and I've said to the FA, until you prove that he's not, I'm not going to pay the fine for calling him it, but it's really interesting to talk to somebody who owns a club at that level, and they've built this fantastic new social facility. It's fascinating. So we're doing more live shows coming up, hopefully. So.
Excellent. Yeah. They've made football finance interesting.
Oh, they have.
good stuff. The price of football.
You two have never sounded more like a married couple than that.
Oh, they have. Yeah. Remember Brian, who lived at 16. Oh, I do. Thank you, Kevin. Good to see you.
Always a pleasure.
Kevin Day there.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. The Talk Sport Clips of the Week.
Not really. These are Clips of the Week pewter. They are some old random Clips of the Week from September, October 2019. The producer has put them all together. We just dust a few off on a Monday to play some, like a little time capsule of Clips of the Week. Not necessarily gold, but we can't promise you that. We'll promise you a bit of pewter. So I'll kick us off then with a call to Mark Saggers.
Jim is an Evertonian and has also got, first of all, to tell us you went to school with somebody well-known and famous as well, who made it, Jim. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Who was it?
Yes, it was Ronnie Moran.
Ah, right.
He was part of a family, the Morans.
Well, yes. There we are. That doesn't surprise us, does it?
Here's Alan Brazil with his co-host, Mike Parry, who's forced to defend himself.
You know, you can swear off it because, you know, mate, I've had many a drink and a chat with you outside where your language is diabolical.
Now, excuse
me. But in front of a mic, you're very good.
Secure thyself, surgeon, before and look into thyself, Satan.
Yeah, nicely, beautifully done. He knows all the quotes, does Mike. Look into thyself, surgeon. staying with... Alan sounding quite young there, 2008. Young, yeah. I've been out with you. Your language is atrocious. When they did the show together, Alan and Mike, to get themselves fired up for a 6 o'clock start, an ungodly hour of the morning, and they would go into a side room here at the old TalkSport building and abuse each other, basically, just shout at each other for 5 minutes, get their energy levels up.
It's a good idea,
interesting.
I think.
Hey, we should prep like that.
Well, I think it's a good idea.
5-1. So, there we are. Insight there into the world of talk. What goes on behind the curtain? What did then, anyway? Staying with Big Al, here he is with Ronnie Irani, talking to a friend, one of their many friends of the show.
Our old pal, Duff Gunnar, on the line. Duff, how are you, Duff? And what on terms? Duff, morning.
Duff.
Morning, Al. Ronnie.
Duff, we're going to talk watching training. And Duff, first of all, how have Arsenal gone in pre-season? Are you happy? Duff.
Hey, your phone bill, Duff.
Put this numpty to my right, will you, Duff?
Duff, it wouldn't happen. On that point, Duff, it wouldn't happen if the public were watching, mate. By the way, Duff, football's more and more expensive, I think.
Duff, have a great day. Thanks, pal. Duff.
I wonder what his name is.
Yeah, we needed the EastEnders theme there. Really.
I think we did. It was a real Duff moment, wasn't it? Yeah.
Back to Saggers now. This time alongside Mickey Quinn.
And Alex McLeish, the manager, will be on just a little later on to tell us exactly about the possibilities of a takeover. And Stoke City at St Andrews this afternoon.
Yeah, Stoke, good start for them. They had a win at home and then battered by Liverpool during the week.
Not such a tremendous start. Maybe as Quinny said. This is Keith Arthur on Fisherman's Blues.
That there are going to be people other than us that want to use our navigable waterways. And navigable waterways are navigable because they are navigable waterways.
It's a good word, navigable. I've never used it.
Navigable.
Navigable. Yeah. It's not easy, is it?
It isn't. Here's Adrian Durham and Darren Goff with a competition.
Which former England manager is now the director of football at League Two, Notts County?
Mike?
Ericsson.
Okay, you've got to be quicker than this, Mike.
Which player scored the winning goal for the Republic of Ireland in their 2-1 victory over Cyprus?
Sven Göran Eriksson.
He'd already said it when Adrian said to him, "You've got to be quicker."
Yeah, well, he was quick, wasn't he? He just did the previous answer, like a two Ronnie sketch.
It was.
Back with Big Al again. Here he is interviewing the aforementioned Sven Göran Eriksson.
When you say, "Would you like to come to Nottingham?" You know, to Nottingham, to Notts County, is it difficult because it's League Two, Sven?
Yes, of course it's difficult because League Two is well. It's League Two.
It is. Fantastic. He got the grips of it quite quickly, League Two being League Two right there. Yeah, what a story that was, Sven at Notts County. And is it me? Yes, it is. This is the caller to the two mics.
Let's talk to Mark up in Glasgow. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, I'm on.
Oh, yeah, you are.
That's the idea.
He's very pleased with himself.
And staying with the callers.
Well, let's bring in Kevin here, who's in Alloa. Hi, Kev. How are you, sir?
No bad.
You're a bricklayer. Are you building houses?
No.
There you go.
It's like a yes-no game, wasn't it? Like Ian was going to get the gong out. Fantastic. This is Jeremy Kyle now with an update from a Cardiff City game.
Cardiff, Bristol City into the second half. Soon Cardiff leading 2-0. You heard it.
Okay. Thought Abraham Grant walked in.
Beautiful bit of gargling there. And finally, Andy.
And finally, here's Mike Parry alongside Andy Townsend.
I like cranberry juice.
We're taking out of a little plastic cup. Oh, I can't. Cranberry juice could kill me.
Why?
I could die of cranberry juice. And it has happened.
What?
Has it?
I don't think it has. Also, it hasn't happened yet. Got Andy's many stories of his time working with Mike, our legion. But there we are for you, clips of the week, pewter from 2009. Now, producer will dust a few more off next week, and hopefully, we'll bring you some again.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. I'll do it all again with Charlie tomorrow. Andy will be back on Wednesday. Do hope you can join us then. If not, the podcast, as always, will be available at around 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.